All right, brethren, let's go back to Matthew chapter 18. It begins here in verse 1, and it says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" As soon as Brother Scott read this passage, I can't remember when it was, last week, I think, or week before. But as soon as he read it, I was blessed in my heart. I went home, and I couldn't write fast enough as I wrote down some thoughts on that passage. But there's been a lot of water under the bridge since I prepared these notes. And so, as it is usually, I feel like an utter hypocrite preaching it. You know, when you prepare a message, the Lord first rebukes His pastor. He first comforts His pastor. Whatever it is that we need, He first does that to the pastor as he's preparing the message and as he's preaching it. And then as it's preached to you, He does the same to you. So just understand with this message today and with every message I preach, first I'm preaching it to myself. I'm first preaching it to myself. And I want you to hear it to yourself and to nobody else. It's a terrible, terrible thing to hear a message and think, well, I wish so-and-so heard that. You need to hear it. I need to hear it. And that's how we should hear it. So I'm preaching to me. You hear this as the Lord preaching to you. Now, they came there asking the Lord, who is the greatest? And we're told by Mark they were disputing about this. They were in an argument, a heated argument. And we are given an indication of how this probably started. We don't know for certain, but it's a good probability that this started when the mother of James and John came to the Lord and asked for her two sons to sit on one side and one on the other in the kingdom of heaven. Because the scripture says when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. And they began disputing over who should be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What is that? It's pride. It's pride. That's our greatest vice, is pride. That's the first sin listed that God hates, is pride. Whenever we start something negatively, it's pride. And if we don't start it, but we answer back negatively, it's pride. It's all our sin nature is. It's not the new man in the believer. It's the old man. The disciples, I'm sure, were saying, well, I've left everything. And I left a whole lot more than you left. And I've served the brethren. Now, look how I've served them. I've served better than you've served them. I've served them more than you've served them. Well, it was truth. They all had left all. And they had served their brethren. They really had. But they began looking at all they had done. Looking at all they had given up. And they fed that prideful sin nature. So they were lifted up and consumed with pride, moved with indignation against their brethren. They began preferring themselves above their brethren. And, as we always do, each justified themselves as why they ought to be the greatest. I'm sure they were given all their works and listing everything they had done. And at the same time, they were putting down their brethren and belittling their brethren. That's the fruit of a proud heart. If I serve and I minister to others only because I want to be seen as a minister of others, I'm not really serving God at all. That's doing things to be seen of men. If I use my serving to justify my rebellion in some way, or if I use it to exalt myself over others, then my service becomes no service at all before God. It becomes self-serving for selfish motives to be seen to get the end I have in view. Well, I should serve others. Our Lord said, when you've done all that you should, just know that you're still an unprofitable servant. You just did what you should have did. But never should I use any positive thing that I've done to justify myself. I should never do that. I hate it when I do that. I shouldn't use the negative things others do to me to justify my own rebellion. Or to justify how I treat them. That's pride and self-righteousness. After I prepared this message, my family laughs at this, I was watching a documentary. I do like to watch documentaries. And I was watching it about the mob. And these fellas said that in all the crimes that they committed and the murders that they committed, they had to justify themselves that what they were doing was good. It was okay. Because they couldn't live with the regret otherwise. One of them said this. And he said, in all the good things they did. They did some good things. He said they did it just to justify themselves, to try to soothe that conscience. And eventually that conscience will become hardened to where it doesn't even bother us if God leaves us to ourselves. We have 3 major strikes against us. One, the devil is a master deceiver. You and I will not know we've been deceived by the devil. That's what deception is. You won't know you've been deceived. And what was it the devil appealed to Eve with in the garden? Pride. He said, God's holding back something from you. You deserve better. He knows in the day you eat thereof, you'll be as gods. You're justified to eat this fruit. He appealed to or filled her with pride. And the devil is a master deceiver. You say, I've never heard the devil speak. I've heard him. I've heard him a lot. You have that little voice speak to you, tell you why you're justified. You've heard the devil speak. Loud and clear. True humility involves not losing sight of why we're serving. It's because Christ Jesus our Lord laid down His life for us and redeemed His people by making Himself the very least. We do what we do because we know that Christ's brethren are one with Him. And by serving them, we're serving Him. It's called being constrained by the love of Christ. Now, if I serve for any other reason, or I begin to justify myself by my serving, I'm not constrained by the love of Christ. It's my flesh that's temporarily ruling over me. So, the second major strike we have against us is every regenerated child of God has a depraved sin nature. Every one of us has been born of God. We still have a sin nature, and it is not changed at all. It's still at enmity against God. It's still only pride. And that part of us is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So you got the devil that deceives you to a point you can't know you're being deceived. And you got a sin nature that will deceive you to the point you can't know you're being deceived. And then thirdly, we dwell in the midst of our brethren and other people who are just as sinful. Three strikes. So, at this point, we see why the disciples had gotten in this dispute. We can't blame them. We can't stand back and say, well, I wouldn't do that, because we've done it. We do it daily. Luke says, when they came to the house where the Lord was, they were silent. They didn't mention this. The Lord brought it up to them. He knew their heart. That's a picture of us, and an example of us, an example of Him. We don't want our sin to be seen by God. We want to hide it. But He knows our heart. We have a way that we want others to see about us. But Christ sees the true way about us. The Lord always knows our thoughts. He looks on the heart. Look at verse 2. Jesus called a little child unto Him, set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You don't even have to worry about who's going to be the greatest. You won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What does our Lord mean when He says, except you be converted? Weren't they converted? Weren't they already born of the Spirit and brought faith in Christ? Yes. He means, except you be converted from this pride, this ambition, this sin. We have to be delivered on a daily basis by Christ from our sin nature, or it will overcome us. And He occasionally lets it overcome you to show you that you can't overcome it of yourself. You have to have Him to do it. My sin makes me pray to God. And I pray to Him, Lord, just remove this, you know, whatever sin it is, I'll pray, Lord, just remove this one sin from me. But you know, if He removed it, I wouldn't cry to Him every day like I do. He says, and become humble as a little child. He said verily before thee. That means this is of utmost importance. Be humbled as a little child. Now, the Scripture says God hates pride, but He loves humility. Listen to this from Isaiah 57:15. Thus saith the high and lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with Him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. He said in Isaiah 66:2, to this man will I look, even to him that's poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. You know, when we're lifted up in pride, we can't even hear the word of God, much less tremble at it. Our Lord said, whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and whosoever humbleth himself shall be exalted. In another place, the Lord Jesus said, He told them what true greatness is in the kingdom of heaven. Now listen to this carefully. He said, whosoever will be great among you. You want to be great? Let him be your minister, your servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man, even as Christ, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. To be great in the kingdom of heaven is to be the least and to be the servant of all. That's what greatness is in the kingdom of heaven. What does that tell us? It tells us who the greatest one is in heaven. It's Christ. It's Christ. Go to Philippians 2. What did Christ do? How did He make Himself the least? Philippians 2 and chapter 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You want to talk about if somebody had a cause to justify themselves for not humbling themselves for a bunch of worms? It was Him. Here's a bunch of worms, and He's God, holy God. And these worms deserve nothing from Him. You want to talk about somebody who could have justified himself and not having any mercy at all? He can. But He had mercy, didn't He? And what did He do? Verse 7, but He made Himself of no reputation. Isn't reputation a problem with us? We want other people to know us. He took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto the death, unto death, even the death of the cross. This is why Paul says in verse 3, look there, Philippians 2:3, let nothing but be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Just think of how peaceful it would be if we always did that. Wouldn't it be peaceful? It'd be heaven's what it'd be. That's what it will be. Everybody esteeming the other better than themselves. Paul said, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Christ made Himself the absolute least, brethren. I mean, there's never been a man in the history of this world who made Himself the least to the degree that Christ did. Never. First of all, think of the height from which He came. He's God of very God. But He came down for His elect worms who could offer Him nothing. And became a servant for us. He became a servant for His people. To serve God because we couldn't serve God. And He was obedient even to the death of the cross, knowing He's going to have to bear the shame of sin that He hates. Our Lord wasn't polluted, but I know that it was to Him. You can hear in the Psalms, He felt really guilty before God the Father. And that's what the shame of it was. That's what it says He despised the shame. That's what it was. But that's the death that He died on the cross for His people. Being forsaken of the God He loved. And then, to crown it all, He was laid in a grave. You talk about going from the height to the depth. He made Himself the least for God the Father and for His brethren. He preferred God the Father over Himself, and He preferred all His elect over Himself. And He made Himself the least for both of them. That's low. That's greatness. That's the greatest. The very greatest. And it says, Philippians 2:9, wherefore, for this reason, God also hath highly exalted Him. What was He doing? What was He doing by that, all that humility? He was highly exalting God. And what did God do? In due time, He highly exalted Him. And by His finished work of redemption now, every chosen child of God has been redeemed. What does that mean? We're Christ's purchased possession. We belong to Him. He bought us with His own blood. We belong to Him. And therefore, He'll give each one a broken and a contrite spirit. He's going to fill us with the Holy Spirit, and He will give us a broken and a contrite heart. That's the only way we're going to come to Him, is if we're the least. He makes us see we're the chief of sinners. That's the only way we'll come to Him. I'll tell you when a good way to justify ourselves is. There is a good way to justify ourselves. Justify why we are the least. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. I don't deserve to even be in the kingdom of heaven. I persecuted the saints. That's a good form of justification, self-justification. Justifying why you ought to be the very least. But He's going to give us this new nature, and we have this sinful nature, so He's going to keep us from being overruled by our sinful nature. Now, don't misunderstand that as some people preach it and they say that now you can keep the law. That doesn't mean that. Romans 6 doesn't mean now you can keep the law. When you become servants of righteousness, it means you become servants of Christ, who is our righteousness. Unto holiness, it means unto Christ, who is our sanctification. All our righteousness is in Christ alone. All our holiness is in Christ alone. The only holiness in me, the only righteousness in me, is Christ in me, who's turned me to Him. It's sort of a, I don't know the word, but when He's in you, and there's a new man created in you in righteousness and true holiness, that doesn't make you try to look to yourself and look to this new man in you. It makes you look out of yourself. It makes you look to Christ alone. So, because of this, because He's dwelling in His people and He's keeping us and He comforts us and He exalts that new man as He needs to be exalted. And He does it by making us the least. You know this, up in the kingdom of heaven is down. And if you're going down in a negative sense in the kingdom of heaven, it's because you're trying to exalt yourself. Or I'm trying to exalt myself. Up in the kingdom of heaven is down. Going down. That's true greatness. But by Him dwelling in us, we can't do everything that we would do in our new man. There's a new will there. We would, if we could, serve Him in humility and serve our brethren in humility all the time without any pride. But we can't. We have to remember that about our brethren, don't we? Rather than retaliating when they offend, I should remember that's just sin talking. That's just their sin nature talking. They can't help it. It's just like mine. I know what it's like to be helpless to that. You agree with what I'm saying? You know how your sin nature overcomes you? When have you ever sinned and not been willing to do it? Never. Sin's always a choice. There's no justification for it. And we always sin willingly. But, thanks be to Christ dwelling in us, thanks to the Holy Spirit, that our flesh also can't do what it would, to the extent it would. He keeps us right where we need to be, so we don't fall away, so we don't become overcome with pride, so we continue to look to Christ. Sometimes He uses the sin nature to do that, to show us our sin and our helplessness, and then He shows us that He's the only one that can rescue us, and He keeps us looking to Him, away from these sinful, wretched bodies. But we'd all be lying if we said we don't go through seasons of pride. We do go through seasons of pride. Sad to say, somebody will be lifted up in pride and say something to us, and we'll say something equally prideful back. You know how Christ corrected us and how He corrects us? He loves us to Himself. You just can't be lifted up in pride and anger when you behold Christ making Himself the least for you. It's just an impossibility. It's when we take our eyes off Him. It's when we forget what He's done. It's when we forget why we're here and what our purpose is. And it's our sole purpose to glorify Him. It's when we forget what He's done that our sin nature begins to dominate us, and we go through these seasons and justify everything we're doing because we look at how much we've done for the Lord. I've not really done anything for the Lord. to esteem others better than ourselves is to highly exalt Christ. You want to exalt Christ? Take the wrong and serve one another. And you'll highly exalt Christ. Isn't that what He did? He took our wrong and He served for us. And that's how He highly exalted God His Father. All the while He was depending entirely upon God the Father. That's how He exalted Him. And that's what, if we humble ourselves and we depend upon Him and we look to Him alone and we serve our brethren, we just take the wrong. That's highly exalting Christ. We can only do it by His grace, but it's still a highly exalting Christ. Go to 1 Peter 5. I want you to see this. I'm going to wrap this up. 1 Peter 5. And listen to this. He says in verse 5, look at the right after the first sentence. He says, "Yes, all of you, be subject one to another. Subject yourself one to another and be clothed with humility." That means wear it all the time. "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God," looking to His mighty hand, trusting His mighty hand, "that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." When Christ humbled Himself and made Himself the least and cried out on the cross, you know what He was doing? He humbled Himself under the mighty hand of God and He trusted God the Father to exalt Him when it was time. That's what He was doing. Rather than exalting Himself. When we rail, whether we started it or we just responding to it, and we are that's not exalting Christ. That's not humility. That's not trusting God. That's trying to exalt ourselves. And that's not what Christ did. That He, the way He redeemed His people, the way He made us complete, that ought to be what motivates us in everything. He's made us complete. He's made us righteous and holy, fully redeemed. That ought to make us want to serve Him. Well, how'd He do it? He made Himself the least. Now listen to this. Back in our text, Matthew 18:5, He said, "Whoso shall receive one such little child in My name receiveth Me." When He says "in My name," He's talking about a believer who is truly a humble one. And I know that, you know, you might say, "Well, that brother is just full of pride." Well, he might be full of pride, but he ain't before God, because he's in Christ. And in Christ, in His name, he's humble, because God's only looking on him in Christ, and He's already given him, in that new nature, a humble nature. It's His flesh that's lifted up, but God's already put away our sin. He's not dealing with us according to our sins. He's going to correct us and save us from it, but He's not going to judge us for our sin. But He says here, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in Me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Why is that? Why would that be? Why is it so offensive to God for us to offend one of His believing people? Because we're so one with Christ that when we offend one of our brethren, we're offending Christ. When we exalt ourselves over one of our brethren, we're exalting ourselves over Christ. Because we're that one with one another. If we truly want Christ to have the preeminence, if we truly want Him to be exalted above all. And we should prefer our brethren above ourselves. You're never going to do that without sin. I'm not either. You're never going to do that in a way such that you can come to God and make you boast about something you've done. That ain't going to happen. It's by His grace, though. That's what exalts Christ. Because you trust in Him. When it's due time, when it's time, when it's His time, He will exalt you. I find myself more and more when I get maligned and men say things about me, rather than trying to explain to people what men have done or what's going on, rather than trying to explain that, I just say to myself, the Lord's going to bring everything to light. Judge nothing before the time. The Lord's going to bring it all to light. I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to explain myself. When you start getting in a way where you want to try to defend yourself and justify yourself by listing all the faults of our brethren, it's just like that saying, you know, you can get in a fight with a skunk. You might win, but you're going to come out smelling like a skunk. If I exalt myself over my brethren, I exalt myself over Christ. I pray God give us a humble heart. That's what we need. If pride is our chief vice, and it is, then the chief thing we need is a humble heart. I pray God give that to us. Amen.